Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joshua, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And let's pray. Father, again, thank you so much for the privilege of preaching to your people. Father, I do pray, though, that if there's anyone here tonight that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that tonight would be that night. Father, only you know, only they know whether they're saved or not. Father, I thank you for those who over the years have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Lord, especially for those who have spent their lives in church only to realize I've never been truly born again and I've got to take care of that. Father, thank you for that group of people willing to swallow their pride and say none of it's worth going to hell for. Father, I pray that you would just help us tonight. I pray that you give me clarity of thought and speech. And Father, help me to be a blessing to these thy people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. We've got to understand here that some things have been taking place in this time frame over the last about 6 months taking place here. This angel of the Lord comes to Joseph, but we need to, you know, we read through this and sometimes we tend to forget the background of it. God had been silent for over 400 years. He spoke through the prophet Malachi, and then no one heard from God. There was no prophet from God that said, thus saith the Lord. And there was no prophet who got a revelation from God, as like we read through the prophets. There was no angel of the Lord who appeared unto anyone. God spoke to no one for over 400 years. And Zacharias, doing just what he's supposed to be doing, receiving a great, wonderful testimony from God that he and Elizabeth followed the Lord, obeyed the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, walked in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Now stop and think. They've walked in the ordinances and commandments of the Lord blameless. That's God's testimony of them. In a day where God hadn't spoken to anyone for over 400 years. I want you to understand, no matter what this world does, even if it seems like God has gone silent, you can still do right. They showed us we can. They showed us that it is possible. And the angel comes to Zacharias. First time God has directly dealt with man in over 400 years. And says your wife Elizabeth will have a son. 6 months later, the angel appears again and comes to Mary. And we know the account of what takes place. But then there's Joseph. He too is a godly man. Obviously, Mary is a godly woman. Thou hast found favor with God. And so here she is also, like her cousin Elizabeth and her husband Zacharias, living before the Lord, blameless. No, she was not born sinless, as some folks wish to say. She was a sinner just like you and me, but found favor with God. And Joseph, he too was a godly man. He was searching for a godly woman, and he found Mary. And we know that God brought them together. No question about that. Mary is of the lineage of David through David's son Nathan. You'll find that in Luke chapter 3. Here in Matthew chapter 1, you'll find that Joseph is a direct descendant of the kingly line. So he adopts Jesus, basically. And so Jesus then has both the blood right to the throne through Mary and the legal right to the throne through Joseph. And, you know, one of the things that, this isn't what I'm preaching tonight, but one of the things that had bothered me for probably close to 25 years is in 2 Kings, it says that Jehoiakim began to reign when he was 18 years old. But in 2 Chronicles, it says he was 8. And I knew, Lord, you know, I looked it up and checked commentaries and everything else, and they just said, well, the difference between 8 and 18 is a little mark, and that mark got missed. No, that's not it. Okay. I accept this book as perfect, no errors. God guided the hands of the translators when they put it into the English language for us. We have God's preserved word, and there's no mistakes in it. So I knew that if I didn't understand it, it was because of me, not because of the word of God. And I wrestled with that thing for years. I would look it up. I would research it. And several years back, I finally came across the answer. And it's right here in Matthew chapter 1. It's I just want to show you this. It says in verse number 10, let's start there. And Ezekias, which is Hezekiah, begat Manasseh. And Manasseh begat Amon, and Amon begat Josias, which is Josiah. And Josiah begat Jeconias and his brethren. Right. Jeconias was his grandson. He adopted his grandson when his grandson was 8 years old. Remember, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings is this history from man's vantage point. When Josiah died, they rejected Josiah's choice of this 8-year-old king and made his uncle king. Pharaoh Necho from Egypt is coming back through. He said, no, I don't think so. So he takes that king captive and makes his younger brother, the middle brother, king. Changed his name to Jehoiakim. And he reigned for 9 years. And then he died, and his son, Jehoiakim, was accepted as king by the people. And that's when he became king in the people's eyes, when he was 18. But in God's eyes, his grandfather adopted him, reigned as what they would call co-regent. They reigned together when he was 8 years old. Josiah didn't have a problem with an 8-year-old king because that's when he started, when he was 8 years old. But he knew what his sons were like, and he was trying to train his grandson better. And so God said in 2 Chronicles, that history from God's vantage point, he said, no, he started to reign when he was 8. And you know how we know that that was God's choice? Right here, Matthew chapter 1. It says that Josias begat Jechonias, which Jechoniah is a name that Jeremiah used a lot for Jehoiakim. And as you look down through, and God says, so verse 17, so the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ, 14 generations. And when you count the generations, there is no Jehoiakim, because Josiah adopted his grandson, and therefore God's lineage skipped that generation in between, because he became his son. And Joseph, in the legal line of the kings, adopts Jesus, and Jesus then becomes heir to the throne of David. It's amazing how God works. You know that? And the detail. But here we have now Joseph. Imagine how he feels. He has been a godly man. He chooses a godly woman to be his wife. And then he finds out she's expectant with child. Imagine how devastated he must have been. He knew this child wasn't his. What would most response be? Fly off the handle, accusations and the whole thing. I mean, obviously, it's never happened before that a virgin should conceive.
Right.
And maybe she tried to explain it. But would you have believed it? Right? Mama, I don't know what happened. It just got messy like that. You know, we know better than that. Somebody had to make the mess, right? But here's Joseph. He stops. He wants to handle this properly. He has every right to put her away. That bill of divorcement that Moses talked about, he has every right. But the Bible says in verse number 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, he wanted to be fair. He wanted to handle it right. The word just, we know, means without sin. When we talk about being justified, right? Being just, the Bible speaks of just Lot, vexed his righteous soul from day to day. But we know from Lot's history, we don't see any righteousness there. But God did. And you and I are declared the same way. We are declared just. Romans chapter 3 tells us that God, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And so we look at it that way. But here it's meaning he did that which was right. He just did what was right. But he was willing to abide by the word of God regardless of the consequences. You can imagine how brokenhearted he is that this woman that was sweet and pure and everything else, and then all of a sudden, she's with child. Imagine how it would have broken his heart and what he has to deal with. We read the Christmas story and we are so familiar with it that all this stuff skips over us, right? We just kind of see, amen, this is what happened, but we don't stop and consider what these folks are going through, what they've been faced with, what they're up against. But it says he was just, but he was willing to abide by the word of God and say, God, I don't want to, but this is what you said is to be done. It's not going to be easy, God, but it's what I must do. Second of all, he was compassionate. He could have dragged her through the streets. He could have put her up in the town square and told everyone, this is a wicked woman. She is with child. It's not mine. I have no clue who, but this is what she's done. He could have done that, but he didn't. He was a just man and not willing to make her a public example. You know, just because somebody's done you wrong doesn't mean you got to go blabbing it to everybody and tearing them up. I mean, here's Joseph. I mean, think of what he is going through and how he responds. It's obvious that he loves her. I'll just get her away quietly, privately. I don't want to make a big deal out of it. I don't want to blow it up. I mean, it's bad enough that it's happened. But I'm not willing to vilify her and validate myself. I'm not willing to do that. I don't need to do that. He was compassionate. We know Jude 22, and of some, having compassion, making a difference. You know, folks, it doesn't hurt to love. It doesn't hurt to love folks, to care about folks, to be compassionate. Jesus set that example for us. And here's Joseph. Stop and think again about what he's going through. But yet, to the one who it looks like has done him wrong, he's being compassionate toward her and her family. And his family. We don't have to blow things out of proportion. To be quite honest, we don't even have to mention it. Just take care of it. Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. But we know that Mary hadn't done anything wrong. He didn't know that just yet. Thirdly, he was a man who made decisions with biblical discernment. He was a man who made decisions with biblical discernment. It says, but while he thought on these things, he didn't make a rash decision. He just didn't plow forward. Well, she did me wrong, and so we're just going to take care. No, he spent some time dwelling on it, meditating upon it. And I know that that is something that your pastor teaches. I've heard him say it. To dwell on things, to think on things. You read through your Bible. You don't just throw it aside and then hurry up and start about your business. Stop and think about what you read. Dwell on it some. And here's a man who wanted to do things with biblical discernment. He wanted to make sure that what he was doing is what God wanted. God I don't know what to do here. You know, I'll be honest with you. When you don't know what to do, trust the Lord in it. Amen. How do you trust Him? Well, you do like they you follow the biblical example. You cast lots. I had a decision to make recently, a life-altering decision, and I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I looked at all sides of it from a biblical perspective, and I just could not decide what the Lord wanted me to do. So what did I do? I took three quarters. Best two out of three. You laugh, but is that not what they did in the Bible? How is it that they knew Jonah was the one for the reason of the storm? They cast lots. How did they know who to choose, who God wanted as far as the replacement for Judas Iscariot, they cast lots. They trusted God. God, I don't know what you need me to do, what you want me to do. Therefore, I am going to cast lots. And I am going to trust you with the answer, no matter how it turns out, no matter what happens. And I said, Lord, I need to make this decision. I'm pressed for time to make this decision. And so I have to know, Lord, if it's heads, it's this. If tails is the majority, it's this. And that's what I'm going to do. Not, you know, do it and then, well, how about best 2 out of 3, right? No, it's not that. I just flipped all 3 quarters at the same time, and however they landed, there were two tails and one head. So I said, okay, Lord, I had it written down. You know, if it's heads, it's this. If it's tails, it's this. It was tails. And I chose that. And merciful heavens, how he has altered my life. But I'm going with it. And the further I go with it, the more peace from God I have. You know, sometimes you need to do that, to cast lots. They trusted God with it. That was, you know, you look all through. You know why America has elections? Because Moses said, choose you out men. When the deacons were chosen, what did the apostle say? Choose out 7 men that we may appoint. And those were the deacons. It was a lot. It was a vote. And literally, we have voting in America because of Moses having the people vote for their leaders. But Joseph wanted to use discernment. He thought on these things. He was trying to sort things out from a proper perspective. We get bombarded by what the world tells us, but we don't need to run to Oprah for our advice. We don't need to run to all the world. Doctor, what's his name? I don't even remember anymore. We don't need to run to that crowd. You've got the creator of heaven and earth at your disposal. And all of his wisdom, all you have to do is ask. He'll tell you. But use the Word of God and the example of others in the Word of God to help guide your direction. He wants to handle it properly. He wants to handle it in a way that the Word of God has dictated without going beyond what the Bible says. Sometimes we'll do that, don't we? We'll lay a heavier consequence on it than what the Bible says. We'll handle it differently. We'll go to extremes. But he wanted to do it exactly the way God wanted it. So he thought on these things. Well, then, and again, strangely enough, and we laugh at it, but it's the biblical example. He had a dream. Did he not? And by the way, do we not serve the same God who hasn't changed how he does things or what he does? Sometimes he might speak to you through a dream. But it says that while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. You know, years ago as a teenager, I said to what I thought was a mistake afterward, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And then at summer camp, my pastor said to me, have you ever thought about becoming a pastor? I hate to say it. I laughed at him. I just laughed at him. You're crazy. I mean, I was going into electrical engineering since seventh grade. I knew where I was headed. No. Are you crazy? Yeah, he was crazy. But the Lord started speaking. And then we were at church, and I sat right behind the driver. On our way home, we had a different bus because ours was down that day. And this lady comes out of the church. And we had a church of probably about 400 people back then, where I got saved and grew in the Lord. But she didn't know me all that well. She knew me to see me, but she didn't know me. And she came down the stairs and she said, "Rudy, take care of my bus. I got to use that tomorrow for school." And so they were, you know, chatting back and forth. And she looked at me. She said, "What is your name?" And I told her. And she said, "I had a dream about you the other night." She said, "You were behind the pulpit here at the church preaching." I said, "Rudy, get us out of here quick." Right? But what was it? A dream. Did I have it? No. But I was told about it. And then, I mean, I was in public school at the time. And I had worked for this guy that also went to our church. This was the city of Pittsburgh. He lived behind us, the street above us, but our houses kind of were close to each other at the alley that went between the houses. And I would work for him during the summer. He had a television repair business. And as a young teenager, it was my job when there was a problem with the television to, some of you remember this, pull the old tubes out. Put them in a tube checker, right? Hit the button, and it tells you whether it's good or not. It wasn't this, "Oh, TV's bad, put it on Craigslist for free." You know, free to a good home. It doesn't work, but maybe you want my junk. You know, that kind of a thing. We didn't do that back then. You took it to a TV repair place. But he had a younger brother. It was a pretty rough character, Ralph. But for some reason, on the way home from school one day, I ended up in the back of the bus. I mean, I always sat up front. That's just the kind of kid I was. I'm sorry. I wasn't a back of the bus kind of a kid. But for some reason, I got to the bus late, and it was filled up, and I had to go all the way to the back where Ralph sits. And as we're going up past his brother's television repair shop, he says to me, "You work for Dave, don't you?" I said, "Yeah, I do every once in a while." He said, "You gonna be one of them preachers too?" Strike number three. I mean, the Lord used my pastor, a woman at our church, and an unsaved kid I went to public high school with to let me know what he wanted me to do with my life. I knew it was what he wanted me to do, and I fought for a year and a half to keep from doing it. I'll just be honest. But you know, that's the way the Lord works sometimes. And he'll work through dreams. Maybe a dream that you will have. But God told him through an angel in a dream. He did not wake up the next morning and say, "I'll never have onions on my hamburgers again." No. He understood this was from the Lord. This was direction from the Lord. And so what did he do? Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. And he took unto him his wife and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name exactly what the angel said in the dream to call him. And he called his name Jesus. Stop and think about what this fellow's doing, how he's handling these things. It amazed me when I stopped and I considered this man Joseph. He obeyed the Lord because of a dream that he had while he was sleeping. And then he trusted the Lord. He was told, take the child to Egypt. This all took place while they were in Nazareth. But he trusted the Lord to take care of the situation. He had a reputation as a godly man. His fiancée, Mary, had a reputation as a godly woman. There are certain things you can't hide for so long, right? She would start showing, Lord, you've got to take care of this. And he just trusted the Lord. The whole community knew nothing. They knew that they were not yet married. But Joseph just trusted the Lord to work out the details. And God did. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Had they done wrong? No, but it would have appeared as such to the folks in Nazareth. So Joseph just, Lord, you're going to have to take care of the details on this. And God did. And God moved them from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It was a trip of about 80 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. You think, I can do that in an hour and a half. What's the big deal? Try walking it. Try putting an expectant mother on a donkey and leading that donkey 80 miles. See how long it takes you to get to Indy. Right? See how long it takes you. But he did as the Lord directed. Was he happy about going to Bethlehem to pay taxes? No. But he knew it was from the Lord. You know, sometimes the Lord working out the details is not the way you thought it was going to be. But it's the way he knows best. Don't always look at, oh, that'll be too expensive. Oh, we'll never be able to afford that. We can't do that. We just don't have that kind of money. No, you just trust the Lord. If he brings you that far, if you're obedient to the Lord and loving the Lord and doing what you're supposed to be doing, he's not going to take you out to fleece you somewhere and leave you high and dry. He's going to take care of it. He is going to take care of it. But he also understood Mary's needs, took good care of her along the way. And then Jesus is born. But though poor, he took the best possible care of them. We know he was a carpenter. He was a hard worker. But after Jesus was born, and a few days later, they take him to a dedication at the temple in Jerusalem, and they offered the poor man's offering. You read about it in the book of Leviticus, what they were supposed to offer. They were supposed to offer a lamb to redeem a son that opens the womb. It was supposed to be a lamb or two turtle doves or two young pigeons. But he brought the poor man's offering. But yet, we believe about 2 years later when the wise men finally showed up from probably Babylon area where many of the Jews still resided at that time. They came, they followed the star. It probably took them about 2 years to get there. But it says that they found the mother and the child and his mother in the house. And Joseph eventually was able to get a place for them. No, they didn't spend 2 years in the stable. He found them a place. But he was taking care of his family. And then he also obeyed, even when least convenient, that difficult trip all the way to Egypt. But he just obeyed. The angel of the Lord came to him again in a dream again and said, take the young child and his mother to Egypt. Why? Herod's going to kill all the children two and under because he's heard that a king has been born. Right? Which that slaughter was prophesied in the Old Testament. But I want us to understand, though, he obviously wasn't wealthy. God knew that Joseph, God knew Joseph and knew that he was the one who would do things God's way. Why? It says it all through the Gospels, so that the Scripture might be fulfilled. God chose a man that he could trust. Was he wealthy? Not at all. What, did everything just fall into place and everything so smooth? We just discussed that. But Joseph was a man who was willing just to trust God. And think about Mary. You want me to go where? You want me to go with you to Bethlehem? Have you not looked at me? Right? No, she obeyed as well. Even when the trips and everything else were the most difficult for her. Honey, you better get us a room. I'm trying, but everywhere I go says no vacancies. Honey, you better get us. What do you mean you got us a barn? No. Just willing to trust him. How many times did the angel come back to Mary? He didn't. Angel came to Joseph, and she was willing to follow her husband-to-be. And I'm sure as far as ceremonies go, they became husband and wife. As in the eyes of people, and what the custom was for that day, I'm sure they did that. But she was willing to trust him, willing to trust his leadership. If he got it from the Lord, I'm good with it. Ladies, don't rebel against your wife, your husbands. He may get something from the Lord. Now, obviously, you know, as Brother Howes used to say, the woman is the Holy Spirit of the home. And I agree with that. I am so glad for the Holy Spirit in my home that I had for so many years. She kept me straight. I will say that. But if what he says, this is how the Lord's directing, if it doesn't go against the Word of God, you have no reason to fight against it. Well, I won't get to see my friends like I used to. I won't get to see my family like I used to. It's okay. How long before Mary and Joseph were able to go back to Nazareth where they had come from? It was quite a while. But they were willing. We see such a sweet spirit in Joseph. He has set us an example to follow, even when things just aren't making sense. Amen. We're living in a world where things, to be honest with you, just aren't making much sense anymore. You're not blind to it. I know that. But we don't need to look at it in fear. We don't need to look at it like, what are we going to do now? We don't need to look at it like the whole world's falling apart around us and we're going down with it. No, we need to be like Joseph and just say, God's got a bigger plan in this. I got to wait until I find out what it is. And then even if it doesn't make sense, I'm just going to follow what the Lord has for me. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful example of Joseph. Father, I pray that you would give each of us the wisdom that we need to do exactly what you have designed us to do. Father, there's things that you have designed each of us to do that we're all to do. But then there's things specifically for each of us. Something that you've called us to from the foundation of the world. Father, I pray that we'd just trust you. That we would use discernment. That we would desire to be fair, compassionate. Father, thank you for teaching us tonight. Help us to be obedient to you. And Father, help us to cry out for your forgiveness the moment we realize we've blown it. Thank you for your mercy that endureth forever. Use us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.